Thank you, Lord, for your holy presence. We're thankful. We're thankful. Lord, we know you have good for us. You have ordained good for us. Father, we know, God, that the Bible says that the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Father, we are so thankful for your mighty hands upon our lives. Lord, for everything you continually do with us. How you watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives. Lord, you bless us coming in. You bless us going out. You bless, Lord, the works of our hands. We thank you. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, even in this season. How you keep us. You keep our children. You keep our loved ones. Lord, with all our travel, going back and forth, how you continually watch over us. We thank you, our God. We thank you, our God. Thank you for protection. Thank you for preservation of life. Thank you for your mighty blessings upon our lives. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you today. Breathe upon us. Speak your word to us. Help us hear you clearly. Have your way in our midst. We glorify you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And everybody said amen. And amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you all so much for being with us today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's take our 2024 confession. Let's go into the word. I'm so excited about God's word today, as I always am. The Lord has something to say to you. Are you ready? All right, 2, 3, go. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring. And in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am under cover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant, I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places. And I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail, until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are falling. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kayo de Tadeshe, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet-smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you. Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen and amen. Let's go together to Acts chapter 28. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, fear is a killer. Sometimes people actually die before they die because of fear. When fear takes you captive, you lose all sense of reasoning. Sometimes, I know some people have all sorts of definitions for fear. And you know, in this season, we've been talking about how to keep the serpent out of your garden. One of the serpent's greatest messengers against believers is the spirit of fear. If you ever allow fear into your life, it will destroy you and destroy everything that God has blessed you with. Fear is a strong messenger of the devil. And he doesn't have a lot of tricks, actually. We've been talking a lot about learning to take authority. As a child of God, You have authority over the works of darkness. The same authority that Jesus has, you have as a child of God. Right? If you've been joining us, following us on Wednesdays, you know there's a story that I've repeated the last two Wednesdays now. The story of when Jesus said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side. And as they were going over to the other side, there was a storm. The Bible describes it as a storm of hurricane proportions. And this storm took over their journey and their enterprise. The disciples were so afraid, they started throwing water out as water was coming into that boat. Really, the one thing that hurt them the most in that situation was a lack of faith and a lack of God's peace. Was that they opened their heart to fear. They suddenly started to believe. See, the enemy suggested to them, this boat is not going to make it to the other side. And as that thought began to creep into them, you know, that is the progression of fear. Fear usually starts as a thought. And if you entertain that thought, it grows bigger into something deeper than just a thought. It doesn't take long before fear actually becomes captivity. It holds you captive. You suddenly find out every action of yours is being dictated by the fear that has gripped you. You can't think straight. You can't make sound decisions. You can't enjoy the blessings of God in your life. There are even things that God has given to you. You can't see them because all of a sudden you are being held captive by this fear that is suggesting to you that you are going to perish. You know, on that journey, those disciples started to cry out. Jesus was sleeping. I remember I read that story just again a few more times this past week. And I started to pray this prayer for myself. You know, that's a higher level of peace. You know I personally, I'm blessed to enjoy peace, the peace of God, you know, in so many ways and so many. I'm so thankful for that. But, you know, as I meditated that scripture a little closer, it sank into my spirit. That is a higher level of peace. To be able to sleep in a storm. To be able to actually sleep in a storm. I started to think to myself, I'm not likely right now to want to sleep in a storm. My mind will be racing. I'll be thinking of everything I can do to deal with the storm. But Jesus was actually sleeping. The Bible says he was asleep in the storm. And the disciples went and called him and they woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Let's read that story. Let's read it. We'll come back to Acts chapter 28. In Mark chapter 4, look at the words coming out of their mouths. When fear takes hold of your life, you say things that you don't think you are saying. You do things that you don't think you are doing. You think things that you don't think that you are thinking. When fear comes into your life and when fear takes you captive. Somebody say, I'm free from fear. Say this, say, I'm free from the spirit of fear. When fear takes you captive, your life takes on a totally different direction and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. Look at this in Mark chapter 4 and from verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto his disciples, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves of this wind beat into the ship so that it was now full. The boat was now full. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? I want you to back up just for a minute back there. I'm going to give you a little job back there. Look at verse 37 in the Amplified. Let's read it. I know we like reading this part of it. It's very sweet. It says, and a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled. You know, they say, you know, sometimes people say, when it rains, it pours. It's been raining this morning. And I think last night, you know, I started to see on my watch, phone everywhere, you know, flash flood warnings and all of this. It's just amazing. So something else, what's going on with this weather? And, you know, I don't know if you got caught in that rain just for a minute or two, you know, it was a very challenging thing. And, this storm kept beating against the boat, and it kept filling the boat. As the disciples kept trying to get water out of the boat as it was filling up, the storm kept filling the boat. And finally, the disciples, they gave up. Look at verse 38. He says, but he himself was in the stern of the boat. That's in the inner compartment. Yes. That is, he wanted to be very comfortable. And he was asleep on the leather cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? You know, a few days ago, as I meditated this scripture, I found myself beginning to pray a prayer out of that scripture. I said, Lord, teach me. I know I have peace. I'm blessed with peace. I'm endowed with the grace of peace. It's very hard for anything to move me. Very hard. I'll say almost unshakable, almost unmovable. But I put the almost to qualify it. Because every human being has a limit. And at some point, the devil knows how to push these buttons. So you know, I know that there's that possibility that exists, and I've seen that possibility, you know. Periodically it comes, you know, you are stretched sometimes to almost to your limit. So I was meditating this scripture a few days ago. I said, Lord, teach me how to sleep in the storm. Oh God. Lord, teach me. Oh my goodness. Because what will make you sleep in the storm is like, you are living in a totally different reality. You can see the storms. You can feel the storms. You can feel your boat filling with water. You can feel all of these attacks and all of these things. But you are just, you don't even see it. It's like, you know, and the enemy, our enemy, Satan, does not know how to handle that. Now, the disciples, though, were full of fear. Notice there are two things at play in this scripture. The disciples were full of fear. Because they were full of fear, they could not exercise their God-given authority. When fear takes over your life, you lose sight of what you have. You lose sight over the things that God has made available to you. Notice, now, they were so full of fear, they could not even stand to deal with that storm. But that's not the only thing. They were so full of fear, they lost all their peace. Do you see this? I don't know if you can see this in this scripture. Because when Jesus got up from his sleep, number one, there was a reason Jesus was able to sleep in this storm. There was only one reason. It's not just that he did not fear. Yes, we know he did not fear. But he was able to sleep so comfortable in this storm because he was full of peace. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. One of the things I found out many times with believers want to take authority over a situation. They want to speak peace over a situation, but within them, they don't have peace. And the truth of it is, you cannot exercise something you don't have. You cannot say, peace be still, when peace is not inside you. You cannot exercise peace over an external situation when inside you, you are full of turmoil and you don't have peace. You can't do it. You cannot do it. The way authority works, the way the things of God work in the spiritual, you can only give out something you have. You cannot give out something you don't have. When, if for instance, you were one of these disciples, hustling and huffing and puffing, trying to get water out of this boat, because they are so completely afraid they are about to die and they are going to perish, there is no way you are going to get up from that boat, from that sleep, and say, peace be still. No, what will come out of your mouth will not be peace. The first word out of Jesus' mouth was peace. Why? Because he was full of peace. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When drama happens, you have two choices. You will either become a part of that drama, or you will be a solution to that drama. In every situation of life, no matter what is going on in your personal life, in your family, in your business, your career, your ministry, your job, you will either become a part of that drama, or you will be a solution to the drama. The only way you will be a solution to the drama is that you have the peace of God. You are full of the peace of God. You are full of the peace. Somebody pray this prayer for you. Say, Lord, fill me with the peace of God. Fill me with the peace of God. Peace is your inheritance. As we stay around, come around the covenant of God today, we come around the word of God. I want you to be reminded, I have a couple of scriptures I'm going to read to you. Peace is your inheritance. Jesus himself bequeathed his peace to you. Jesus himself said, this peace is your inheritance. You can inherit my peace. You can have my peace. You can have peace in the storm. You can have peace when things are not going right. You can have peace when you don't know how to pay the bills. You can have peace when sickness is trying to ravage your physical body. You can have peace when your relationships are going sour. You can have peace when you don't know how you deal with tomorrow. You can have peace. Yes. The origin of your peace is God himself. Jesus has given you peace as your inheritance. Somebody say, peace is my inheritance. Say it. Peace is my inheritance. If peace is not there, though, you will have fear. What you will have is fear. Right? And when you are held captive by fear, you become paralyzed. You become overwhelmed. You become overtaken. Look at that verse right there. They said in verse 38, do you not care that we perish? And in verse 39, Jesus arose and he did what? He rebuked the wind. Oh, let me go back to the Amplified. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the Amplified. And in verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush now. Yeah. Hush now. Now, in the King James, he said unto the sea, peace be still. And then what happened? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Let's go back to the Amplified in verse 39. And he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush now, be still, be muzzled. And the wind ceased, sank to rest as if exhausted by his beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. Amen. That's what God wants for you. Yes. A perfect peacefulness. Amen. A great calm. A perfect peacefulness. Amen. A great calm. That's what God wants for you. Hallelujah. Let me say this again as I hear it in my spirit. That's what God wants for you. A great calm. A perfect peacefulness. A great calm. A perfect peacefulness. Yes. Amen. Amen. Look at the question Jesus asked the disciples. He said to them in verse 40, He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Notice the word fearful means you are full of fear. It doesn't mean you just have fear. It means you are full of it. And if you are full of fear, there's no room for anything else inside. This cup of water, this glass cup, is full of water. As long as this glass cup is full of water, there is no room for anything else. You cannot be full of fear and have peace. You can't. You can't. As long as in you are full of fear, there is no room for anything else. You will not hear the voice of God when you are full of fear. You will not have wisdom. You will not have clear direction when you are full of fear. You will feel your whole life is crumbling down when you are full of fear. As long as this glass cup is full of fear, there is no room for anything else. Are you listening to me? You owe it to yourself to recognize fear when it begins to knock on your door. Fear is like that viper. That is like the tentacles of the viper that is trying to attach itself to your life. You owe it to yourself to recognize it immediately and to say, no, 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 no. I will not fear. I reject fear. You owe it to yourself to pull yourself apart. Like we said on Wednesday, to go gather the promises of the word of God. Remind yourself who God is, the one who is with you. Hallelujah. You remember that scripture in Hebrews chapter 13. That man said, it was God who said, God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's Hebrews chapter 13. I think it's from verse 5. Look at it in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. It's so powerful in the Amplified Version. Right. In verse 5, he says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Notice this. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. That's what God told you. God himself told you. And then he says, I will not. God said, I will not. I will not. I will not. He mentioned it 3 times. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Assuredly not. So then what in verse 6? So we take comfort and we are encouraged. And we confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Somebody say those words with me. Say, the Lord is my helper. Say those words with me one more time. The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man or circumstances do to me? I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I want you to notice your ability to remind yourself and to become very established in the promise of God is what immediately gives you the backbone to resist fear. Yes. Immediately. If you do not remember in a time of difficulty that God is your helper, he is the one who has promised That he will never leave you or forsake you. If you don't remember that, fear will begin as a thought. And it will creep in and creep in. And it will creep in slowly until you become full of fear. Until you become full of fear. It is very important for every believer. You must have times, days, do it repeatedly. Remind yourself who God is. God has never lost a fight. He's never lost a battle. God has all. He has everything under his control. He can never lose. He can never fail. Right? God has all resources. Right? You remember how many times he asked the people, he asked people he was talking to. He said, do you even know who I am? Look at this scripture. We've read it a number of times in our Wednesday studies. In Isaiah chapter 40. He said, who can you compare with God? Who? Look at Isaiah 40 and look at verse 18. This is in the King James. He says, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has he not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof, they are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and he spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who created all these things. That brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Now guess what? As you remember who he is, as you remember his promises to you, and as you establish yourself in those promises, see what begins to happen in verse 20, verse 29. He gives power to the faint. You see, somehow, as you dig in into who God is, not into your circumstance, not into the trial, not into the difficulty. As you dig in into who God is, suddenly something begins to happen. That God begins to send you strength. You are faint. There's a little fear trying to gain access to you. But as you dig in into God, strength begins to come to you. You begin to be filled with the grace of God, with the anointing of God. Suddenly boldness comes to you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1, it says the wicked run when nobody is pursuing, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. That is a process that begins as you dig into God. Your strength is in God. Your confidence is in God. Hallelujah. No matter what comes against you, no matter what you are dealing with in your personal life, in your family, in your situation, no matter what it is, God has the answer to everything. Yes. As you dig into God, as you dig further and further into God, strength from God begins to come into you. Yes. Notice what he says here. He says he gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. What does he do? He increases strength. Look, even the youths will faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Somebody say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Everything you deal with in life has a voice. Everything you deal with in life has a voice. Yes. Whether it's sickness or financial challenges or issues of life, just difficulties of life, they are speaking to you. They are trying to tell you something. You remember like Goliath was saying to David, I can't read that, I don't have time today. But when they first came into this conflict, you should go read that story in 1 Samuel 17. When they came into this conflict, The first person who spoke was Goliath. He said, first of all, he was very upset that David came against him. He wasn't wearing a big armor. He wasn't, you know, David was, you know, let me tell you a trick. Let me tell you, that's it's a secret. Let's not make this loud, okay? I don't want the devil to hear this. Can you hear me?
Yes.
The devil hates it when people laugh at him. He hates it when people make a mockery of him. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
The devil really hates you. If you are online, did you hear what I said? The devil really, it turns his inside out. When believers begin to make fun of him, he doesn't know what to do with that. This is why Goliath was very upset. He showed up with his armor, his spear, all his armory, everything. Sorry, I can't read. I don't have time. Go read it at home. I'm going somewhere. I have other things I need to go to today. I said, you go read it. Go read it. He came with everything he had. David showed up with stones and sticks. The first thing Goliath saw was his stick. It upset him. He was very upset. He said, am I a dog that you are coming against me with sticks? Don't you even have a little respect that you are coming to fight the giant, the greatest giant in all the world? See, it upset him to no end. David had not said a word. Just by his appearance, he was mocking him. Like, you think you are a giant, but you are actually a dog. Today I'm going to kill you with my stick. I only brought stones to fight you. And you have all this armory and you are this giant. You are this huge giant. But today one of my stones is going to pierce your head. I'm going to break your head open. And I'm going to feed your flesh to all the birds of the air. Oh my goodness, Goliath was very upset. He was so upset. He started running towards this little boy. And as he was running towards the little boy was running towards him. The boy said, Goliath, you are running to me. I'm about to kill you and you are running to me. David said, let's go. Let's go. Hallelujah. Somebody said there was no fear there. Said there was no fear there. Have you ever pictured yourself in that situation? Have you ever pictured yourself? Do you see yourself? Have you seen yourself? Let's be honest for a minute. Have you seen yourself running towards the giant? Amen. Now, amen. Yes, amen. But outside of the empowerment of God, what do you think you are likely to do? Like all those other soldiers, you are going to look for the nearest exit, like they say, the nearest exit. Hallelujah. He said to him, David said to him, he said, you come to me with your spear and your sword, your armor. Hallelujah. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Woo! Talk about somebody that knows his place of authority. Talk about somebody that is establishing the covenant of God. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. He said, and today I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the air. I'm going to feed your carcass. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry for preaching to you. I didn't intend that. There's no fear. There's no fear. You have some work to do. Every area of life, when you leave this service, as you make time during this week, every area of life where there are whispers in your mind, you won't make it. Fear comes. You will die from this sickness. Your children will not survive this. Your family will be destroyed by this. You are not going to come out of this. Every thought, I want you to document those areas in your mind. And then I want you to get into the Word of God. I gave you an example this morning. I've taken you to a couple of scriptures. I took you to Hebrews 13. I took you to Isaiah chapter 40. There's so many more. There's so many more. I want you to line up the Word of God against those areas of your life where you are hearing these thoughts of fear. Remember, if you are full of fear, there's no room for anything else. Fear is torment, the Bible says. Fear is torment. Hallelujah. I don't have time. I got to close very soon. But I want you to know, you have the authority over fear. Fear is a spirit. Let's do this, Moriah. I have a couple of scriptures. You are going to have to be very fast here, okay? 2 Timothy. Let's go. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 6 and 7 real quickly. Just look up there. It's right there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Look at it right there. Look at verse 6. Therefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on of my hands. Go to verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to notice in this scripture, it describes fear as a spirit. So fear is not just a thought. It's a spirit. That means it's a living being. It comes to try to take over your life. If fear can take over your life, it can destroy everything that you have. Fear puts people in bondage. Let's go quick. Romans 8, 15. Look at that in the King James. Look at what it says. Fear is bondage. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Fear is bondage. Fear is bondage. When fear takes over your life, it binds you up. It takes away your freedom. It takes away your joy. It takes away your peace. It takes away your creativity. Fear is bondage. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 2. Real quick, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15. Fear is bondage. Look at it. And God, he came to deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear is bondage. If you allow fear to take over your life, fear will strip you of every blessing God has given you. You will go from hero to zero because of fear. You will lose the most vital, the most precious possessions that God has given you. Fear makes people act strange. Fear makes people walk in ways that they don't intend to walk. Fear is not your portion. The Bible tells us fear has terror. Fear comes with terror. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Fear has terror. You've heard the word terror. Terrorist. Terrorism. When fear comes, you are so threatened that you become paralyzed. Look at it. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is terror. Fear is torment. When you walk in fear, you walk in terror. When you walk in fear, you walk in torment. You don't see clearly. You don't think clearly. You don't act clearly. Hallelujah. Somebody said there is no fear. I will not fear. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord has a promise for you this morning as I begin to wrap this up. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 3, look at it there. The Lord, as we come around the covenant table, He's our merciful and our faithful high priest. He has mercy for you today to release you from the yoke and the bondage of every fear, to set you free from everything that is trying to hold you bound. The Lord came with that for you in this service. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's read this from verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob. I put my name there. And he will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them. And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Verse 2. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. Fear was taking you captive, but you will take fear captive in the name of Jesus, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. Verse 3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and from your heart bondage wherein you have been made to serve. That when you receive the release from captivity, you will make a mockery of your enemy. He says, then you will take a proverb against the king of Babylon and you will say, how has the oppressor seized? The golden city has seized. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Hallelujah. That is your possession. That you are released from the yoke of every bondage. You are released from captivity of fear. You will take captive every fear that has taken you captive. When you leave this service, right through the rest of this week, I want you to look in different areas of your life where Satan has been whispering thoughts of fear to you. And I want you take your position in Christ. You stand on the word of God and you say, in the name of Jesus, I shall not fear. I shall not fear. How many people remember the popular Psalm? Psalm 27 from verse 1. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemy and my foe, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Even when war rises up against me, even this will I be confident. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Somebody said, there is no fear here. Somebody said, I'm delivered from the spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet for just 1 minute. I'm not completely done. I'm almost done. But just for 1 minute, stand to your feet. In the name of Jesus. Close your eyes, everybody. Close your eyes for just a minute. I want to just envision and look, think about all the areas in your life where there's some element of fear. Some people call it concern so that they don't sound... They are not using a word that is archaic. Like, no fear, I'm just concerned. No. Every area of concern in your life. Every area of fear in your life. I want you to take hold of the promise of God today. He said in the day when he will deliver you from your oppressors, from the day, in the day that he will release you from the bondage of fear, in that day you will make a mockery of your adversary. In that day you will make a taunting of your enemy. I want you to look every area where there's an element of fear. Is it in your physical well-being? Is it some sickness? Is it in your finances? Is it some lack? Is it in your job, like a threat or a fear that that job might be taken away from you? Is it some other possession, some other blessing? Maybe your family, maybe your children, maybe some vital relationships in your life. I want you to take the promise of God today. Take the blessing of God today in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to impose it. I want you to superimpose it on every area of concern and begin to declare, I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. I'm full of peace. I will not fear. I'm full of peace. I will not fear. I'm full of peace. I will not fear. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's close out here. Sit down. I have one last scripture. Just one last scripture. In John chapter 14. And we're going to read this in verse 27. I don't know if you noticed. My original scripture today, which I asked you to turn to at the very beginning of this message, was Acts chapter 28. I don't know if you noticed that I didn't even go there at all. We just followed the Holy Spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. I said we just followed the Holy Spirit. Yes. We just followed the Holy Spirit. Yes. When that viper tries to attach itself to your body, to your life, there's that line in our confession that says, I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Spirit. I shake every viper. Don't let that viper stick. From the moment that it comes and it begins to bring its thoughts and it begins to bring fear, shake that viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus. Begin to take authority over it. Fear in the name of Jesus. There's no room for you in my heart. Fear, there's no room for you in my life. In the name of Jesus, you have to be responsible for shaking off that viper. You have to be responsible for shaking off that viper. That viper is not going to go unless you shake it off. That viper is not going to lose its hold unless you shake it off. The Bible says in Acts chapter 28 and verse 10, but he shook the viper into the fire. He shook off the beast into the fire. Sorry, that's Acts 28 and that is verse 5. He shook off the beast into the fire and he felt no harm. And he felt no harm. If you can shake the viper into the fire, you will feel no harm. That viper was sent to kill you. That viper was sent to destroy you. That viper was sent to destroy the blessing of God in your life. But if you can take responsibility and if you can shake that viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost, you will feel no harm. You will feel no harm. And people will look at you and they will say, he's no ordinary person. She's no ordinary person. They will say, she's a God. He's a God. You will feel no harm in Jesus' mighty name. You gotta shake that viper. Isaiah chapter 50, 52, verses 1 and 2. Look at what it says. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bounds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Shake off that viper. Shake off that viper. Shake off that viper. Say, fear, it's time to go. Fear, there's no room for you in my life. Fear, there's no room for you in my family. Fear, there's no room for you in my body. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. Hallelujah. 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 I got to close right here in John chapter 14. I have just three scriptures to read there. Three verses in the Amplified Version. John chapter 14. The peace of God is your portion. The peace of God is your inheritance. Jesus himself said this. He said, I've given you my peace. John chapter 14, let's read from verse 17 in the Amplified. Just look on the screen, we're about to close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read from verse 17. Hallelujah. I think I have that wrong. Sorry, 27, verse 27. Glory to God. John 14, verse 27. Let's read this from the Amplified version. He says, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. I had to do a study on the word bequeath. You know what the word bequeath means? When someone's about to die, they write a will. That will, in that will, they bequeath their possessions to the people that they want to bless with those possessions. I want you to notice, when Jesus got ready to die, he's the Prince of Peace. He wrote in his will and gave you his peace. That's your possession. That's your inheritance. Peace is not just a figment of somebody's imagination. It's not just a state of mind. Peace is a spirit. It's a spiritual reality. Peace is something you live in. Peace is something you enjoy in your life. That peace usually begins from your spirit. You can't have peace by having peace in your mind. It doesn't start from your mind. Your mind will never be quiet. The realities of this life, they are too strong for your mind. Your mind will never accept it, that you can have peace when there is a storm outside. It will never accept it. It was raised in that reality, that when there is a storm outside, there must be a storm inside. That's what your mind believes. But when you take peace as your inheritance, which is what Jesus gave to you, he wrote it down in his will and said, this is for you. When you take that peace in your spirit and that peace begins to settle in your spirit, it will automatically, radically change the environment of your mind. The peace of God begins in your spirit. It begins in the spirit of a man, in the spirit of a woman. That's why, thank God for therapy. Therapy is extremely helpful for people who are suffering depression, anxiety, and all of these things. Therapy is awesome, but therapy can only deal with the mind. That's why when you have the advantage of therapy and the solution of therapy, and it helps you solve the problem in the mind, you will always need therapy to solve that problem, because it can only deal with the mind. You are going to need appointments for the rest of your life. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? Because peace is a spirit. You can achieve peace in the mind only for a little while. It's like medication. When you use that medication, it does something in your body for a little while. But that's why the doctor told you, you have to use it 3 times every day, or you have to use it 1 time every day. Because if you don't use it the following day, the effect wears out and you are back, your body is right back to where you started, as though you never used it. That's why even medication, praise God, is a blessing. You should use it once it is prescribed. But it is not the permanent solution.
Yes.
It's not. Therapy is not the permanent solution. Thank God for therapy. It can keep you alive until you can get a permanent solution. It can keep you sane in your mind until you can get a permanent solution. It can help you carry on without killing yourself until you can get a permanent solution. Yes. But it's not the permanent solution. The permanent solution is the peace of God. Yes. Peace is of the spirit. When peace settles in your spirit, then that peace will flow from your spirit and flow to your mind. And then it will determine. Do you know, have you noticed that sometimes when you are all troubled and you are all agitated and you are all fidgety and you are all anxious, and then sometimes the peace of God comes and it just rests upon you. Have you noticed? Nothing has changed in your physical circumstances. Everything is still the same. But suddenly, you are not afraid anymore. Suddenly, you are not troubled anymore. Everything is still the same outside. But inside, something has happened. And when something happens inside, my friends, it's just a matter of time before it happens on the outside. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, I have the peace of God. I have the peace of God. All will be well with me. All will be well with me. God is perfecting everything that concerns my life, spirit, soul, and body. All is well with me. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed sitting down. I'm blessed lying down. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's close out here. Let's close. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Come on, hear this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Listen to this now. This is Jesus speaking to you. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Go to verse 29. I've told you this before it occurs so that you know. When it does take place, you may believe and have faith in me and rely on me. I love verse 30 very much. Verse 30 and 31. I love them very much. The Lord was... He capped the promise he gave to them. I'm not promising you peace, because I'm telling you everything is going to be perfect and everything is going to be right and you're not going to have any problems. No. No, 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 no. The viper is coming. Surely there'll be trouble. Surely there'll be difficulties coming. But I'm telling you this before it happens, so that you can settle your heart. So that when that viper comes, you can shake it off into the fire. So you know what to do. You know what to do. You know what to do. I'm telling you this, so that you can take your rightful place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 30, verse 30. I will not talk with you much more. For the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of this world is coming. Is coming. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me. See, when you have no fear, Satan has nothing, no power on you. He has nothing in common with you. When you have no fear, he can't stay. He can come, but he can't stay. For sure he's coming. I like the first line of verse 31. He said, but Satan is coming. Somebody says, Satan is coming. But he has nothing in me. Hallelujah. I want you to get yourself ready as we take communion together today. If Satan has no fear, he can't find fear in you, then when he comes, there's nothing for him to hold on to. Nothing. Jesus said, I've given you my peace. When you have peace, yes, your boat may be troubled. Yes, there might be some difficulties that come in life. Every life will have some difficulties. Yes, there might be some challenging situations that you have to deal with. But when you have the peace of God, you will overcome. In this communion covenant service today, the Lord is reminding us about his peace. And he's telling us we have the victory over fear. We have authority over fear. Satan must not have any place in us. If you tolerate fear in your life, Satan will use that fear to torment you, and he will ruin your life. But Jesus has given you peace. That peace is for you today. Close your eyes for a minute. Get ready for this communion. Get ready to receive. This is what Jesus died for. He wrote it in his will. His peace is for you. You can have peace in the storm. You can have peace in the difficulties of life. Thank you, Lord God, for the peace of God that we enjoy in our lives. Thank you, Father, because we are released and delivered from every captivity of fear. Thank you, Father God, we are blessed with an abundance of peace in our lives. We give you the glory and the praise in the name of Jesus. That the Lord who has promised, he's faithful. He will never leave you or forsake you. You will never be in the troubled boat by yourself. The Lord himself will be with you there. Come what may, no matter what happens in this life, you will never have to deal with it by yourself. The Lord will be with you there. Sometimes when it gets very difficult and you don't even feel like you can walk, the Lord will carry you. Amen. He will carry you over the troubled waters of life. He will help you arrive on the other side. You will not have to struggle by yourself and be submerged in the ocean. The Lord has guaranteed that he will be there with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.